the Upside Down Rock Show with me, Doris Brendel, on Hard Rock Hell Radio. Come and join me. So you're no good for me, and I'm nowhere to be true.
Oh!
Welcome to another Upside Down show with me, Doris Brendel. Wonderful to have your company once again from Omaha. That was Beast Eagle. Witch Hunt is a track, some heavy stoner rock. Really like that track. What are we doing this week? Well, a few shows ago, we started talking about the track The One, but we kind of got sidetracked and we talked about the Eclectica album in general. So today we're actually talking about The One, the track, and it's probably our most popular band track. It's the one that's got the most streams. It's the one that gets the most royalties when I go through the statements. And it's a real sort of audience participation kind of track. So we're going to go straight in with Song Time.
Yes, come on in, bring on Song Time!
Do 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 with Song Time with Lee and Doss. Marvellous, so
I presume we're going to talk about The One properly, because we sort of edged on it last week, but we didn't.
We did, yeah. It was a bit sort of, because we kind of went, let's talk about Eclectica, because we changed the album.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, we like you say, we skirted on it because we said that it was just, it had no guitar in it.
No. Yeah, that's right. That was what we were up to, really. There was bass guitar in it and just guitar in it. And we were talking about where it's such a... either. I mean, we could even open it with it, or it's a set closer or a set opener, because it's all very jumpy on the drums and very sort of...
Well, I mean, you kind of made that, because the way I presented that track for you, I wrote it on the piano.
Yeah.
And it's one of those... just for the listener, I am not a piano player. I use it as a songwriting tool. I'm very limited as to what I can do. I can't move my hands around too much, especially my right hand. Otherwise, as soon as I start trying to sing over it, it all goes horribly wrong. Yeah. So I tend to move my left hand for bass notes, and I try and keep my right hand in a similar position.
Yeah.
So this is a real typical Doz piano thing. Because the right hand it's very fast and sort of over an octave, so it's quite stretched out. The sort of thing that gives you terrible hand ache by the time you get to the end of the song.
Ow. I think most of the players that have ever played it can actually say, yep, it really hurts now.
Yeah, it's like, it's a really awkward, because I'm not a piano player, I don't play anything properly the way you should, you know. I just go, oh, I can do this and it sounds nice, you know.
Yeah.
So it's got this repeated motif in the right hand, which, like I say, by the time you get two-thirds of the way through, your hand is going, oh, God, that's really getting sore now. And so it's got this fast, lilting motif with a melody over the top and some moving bass line. And that's all you had. And it sounded really interesting. And the melody, especially the chorus, is quite melodic, and I quite like that. And... so you kind of had to do something with that.
As soon as I heard that, and as soon as I heard the vocal, and even the lyrics, as soon as I heard that, I thought to myself, this is like Braveheart film music. I just saw Braveheart, and I thought to myself, it's that sort of... And that's the reason why it became sort of... in my mind, I was like, this is like a Scottish drummy, Bravehearty sort of thing. You Are the One sort of thing, you know, where the main guy is going to bring everyone.
What's that film? There Can Only Be One.
I don't know. What film is that?
Come on. Really famous.
What sort of film is it?
Can Only Be One. Sean Connery was in it.
Oh,
Highlander. That's it.
Highlander, yeah.
There can be only one. That's it. There can Highlander. Be only one. So that's probably where you got your Scottish thing from.
It is. It's definitely that. And then once I had that in my mind, it was like, well, there's no guitars in that. And I even sort of skirted with a bit of bagpipes every now and again.
Well, I put a bit of whistle at the front, so it's got
bagpipes,
that.
Bagpipes, but no, it wasn't. Definitely wasn't. I think I skirted with it and went, no, that doesn't work. And then it was just a case of, okay, so now it's rhythmical. Yeah. And that song is very, very rhythmical all the way through, and it's just sort of goes along with the piano. And I added certain other instruments. I kept trying to make it going to guitar, being a guitarist that you would, but every time I did it, I thought to myself, it just doesn't. It takes it away from what it's trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
chase the hell inside me. Someday I'll accept what I have done. Sometime I'll leave the past behind me. For now I accept who I've become. And now I see clearly. All this time I simply stepped aside. I watched but never really listened as the whole world passed me by. All this time I watched from the outside. Never understood what was wrong or what was right. I apologize. I apologize. Surround me.
from Las Vegas, Five Finger Death Punch, with a track called Apologizes from their most recent album. And I will be playing more from that album because there's a few really good tracks on there. And the one you just heard from Dublin, Gather the Lost, Never Home, a bit of alt rock. Irish bands always have that little bit of extra personality, I find. I really like the vocal. It's really original. Right, we're going to go straight back to song time. I mean, some people have said, oh, it's a shame it doesn't go into something at the end.
Yeah, lots and of people
we,
said that.
I think, do you know what? I think if we did it now, you would have developed the ending of it.
Yeah.
But live, I don't know whether that's a good thing or not, because it's such a good closing track. And as soon as, like, because it was so drum heavy and that idea of having extra toms on stage.
Yeah.
And just, you know, and bashing those, because there's no bass being played. There's no guitar being played. It's all piano and drums.
That's it, yeah. I basically, in the studio, we took, because Steve was playing drums on that, and we took Steve's drum kit to pieces when we packed down. And I said, right, before we go, I'm going to call up some friends. So I got some friends, and I called up all my brothers and friends, as many people as I could get together, and the people in the studio. And we went
into
the studio.
Oh, there's a YouTube video of that somewhere,
isn't
it?
There is, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We got some people together, and there were three drum kits in the studio as well. And we took all the toms off of those drums. So we just had loads and loads of drums, loads of them. And we all just put, because no one had even heard the song before, because Steve had only just put the drums down. So it was a rhythmical pattern.
Yeah.
And I was trying to teach the my friends and my brothers and the engineers everything, the rhythm that was going on it. So they were all watching me, and we all had click tracks in our ears and all of the drums. So we had... all the kick drums were the really low ones. We were, instead of using pedals, we were hitting them with sticks, like the big bass drums, to get the low ones. And then, so we layered it. So we did all the kick drums together. So we got lined up like four kick drums and recorded those at the same time with the same rhythm. And then we did like the low floor toms, did all those together. Then we did the middle toms, and then we did the high toms. And we did them all together and layered them over top of each other. Which is but the sequences of trying to teach everybody how to play it was hilarious, because if everyone's got to play 3 4 2 3 4 ba ba 2 3 4 1 2 1 2 1 2 3 4 it's very simple, but if
there's always one, there's always one.
So you get halfway through it and go ba 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 ba. Who did that? Sorry, it was me.
Chris.
Carry again. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Chris, stop doing that. Yeah, exactly. It was Chris, I think. Yeah. They all did it. Everyone did it. You know, and you think, oh, we're getting it. It's nearly there. And then someone would put a hit on the wrong time. You're like, no, do it again. So the choreographing on the drums was very lots of fun. We had loads of fun with that.
Yeah,
that was fun.
And of course, live it doesn't matter if somebody hits a wrong.
I think we've got it now. I think everyone. I mean, Ewan got into it quite well, because it's quite funny. It's quite funny because playing. Obviously, Ewan's never. You know, I don't play. I have played drums before, but Ewan's never played drums before, and Lincoln never played drums either.
Oh, Lincoln was fantastic! Such a great personality on stage.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, but I think Ewan's walked into it as well. I think he's really good at it as well. But just the style of being able to hit drums, because if you're very rigid when you're hitting the drums, it doesn't come across as you're very fluent. So I think Sam had to show Ewan how to hold the sticks a little bit easier.
Oh, did he?
Yeah. Because it's surprising how. You know, how fluent you need to be to actually hit the drums.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas if you're holding them really, really tightly, you sort of look like the drumming bunny from the Juris advert. <you know? laughs>
I'll find you. that. You're not pretty when you're talking like that. It's not pretty when you walk like that. You're not pretty when you're walking like that. You're not pretty when you're talking like that. You're not pretty when you're walking like that. We know that you're better than that. Now say,
and borrowed, who will you follow? You're not gone.
from LA. That was Mammoth featuring Wolfgang Van Halen, yep, son of Eddie, with a track called One of a Kind. The second track, of course, was the track that we've been discussing so far today, the one from the Eclectica album. And the one you just heard, it's a German folk pagan metal band, Equilibrium, with a track called Borrowed Waters, which I thought was very nice. Before we go back to discussing the one, I just want to mention a couple of upcoming gigs. This month, yep, Saturday the 21st of March, Lee and I are doing an acoustic gig at St Paul's Parish Room, St Paul's Church in Chipperfield. So do come and join us. It'll be nice. It'll be fun. And Sunday the 12th of April, we're doing a full band gig at the Winter's End Festival. And of course, there's lots going on that weekend. Do come and see us. Back to discussions with Lee Dunham. Well, that's it. It's having fun with it as well. It's just having fun with it at the end there. But that is so popular, and it's possibly the most streamed track of our repertoire.
Yeah, I can well imagine.
People remember. People really remember that track.
If you come to see us live, I mean, that's the trouble, is that you can play the most complex or the most beautiful songs, but you've only got one time to show them the song. So that song's got to be immediate or else it doesn't stick.
Yeah.
And that song is completely and utterly immediate, and it lasts as well. I mean, you can listen to it over and over and don't get bored with it.
You know? But I mean, also people turn up at the merch desk and say, what song was the last song they played? What album's that on? And you know, they sort of pick things.
Yeah.
And then, of course, we try and sell them all three because it's, you know...
Cheaper. Bargain bucket. Go on.
Buy more. Save money by spending more.
Exactly.
But yeah, so I think, I mean, and it's really, really good fun. It's such a nice closer. And it's also not as demanding. And the fact that everyone can just sort of clap their hands and just have a bit of fun with it is
nice. Exactly that, yeah. Well, that's what we've decided to do with it. I mean, a little bit of that came from the covers band of how do we get the audience involved? Because we always wanted the song where we get the audience involved.
Yeah.
Because we didn't have one.
And the thing is when nobody knows your songs or not enough people know your songs, you can't get people to sing along.
No.
You know, I mean, it's nice when there's... I mean, obviously, when we do have quite a few fans there, it's great, but it's still not enough... It's not the same. If you do a cover song and everyone knows it, you can get a whole audience, however many of them there are, to sing along, pretty much. When there's only a few people... It's like Fish, obviously. He's got a big audience of people who know all of the tracks.
And will sing along, yeah, of course.
Exactly. We can't do that. So something like The One at least gives us the opportunity to get people to join in a bit with what we're doing.
Yeah, and they don't have to sing. It's just literally, you know, you do... Clapping and shouting is easier.
And it's fun.
Yeah, of course it is. Well, once they buy the album and they listen to the song, then they get to know all the other songs and come along and sing instead. So, you know, I mean, I remember watching the crowds as we kept playing bigger and bigger venues and playing more and more tours. And I remember that's how I can judge how well things are going, is literally looking at the audience and see who's singing the songs and see who knows them and I'll see how many t-shirts are in the audience. And
t-shirts are really good, you can see
how well people are enjoying your music, and because they come back again and they know the songs and you're like, yeah, this is working really, really well, you know. I love seeing that when you go.
But like we've said before, that rather ill-fated tour last year, January, February, that was very much a new audience. I mean, there were a few people who came to see us, but it was a lot of new people there mostly. And I think we really made an impression.
Yeah, I think that they really enjoyed it.
Still getting messages from Facebook from people who were in Bonn, especially Bonn, for some reason.
Yeah, that's good.
You know, and they were all new people.
Yeah. And yeah, it's COVID like royally fucked us, may I say?
Yes.
Because we you know, when you hit a crest of a wave, sometimes you think to yourself, oh, people are liking this. This is different. People are warming to this album easier and better than ever before.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, the album just come out. It's got hype. It's got the media behind it and radio play, and people were starting to talk about it, and then it just got cut off, completely cut off, which was such a shame. So I don't know whether we'll ever get it back.
On that album, you know, I'm so worried about the whole Europe situation, because I love touring Europe. I really do. As you know, we've done quite a few tours together now, and I love playing in Germany and in Netherlands, yeah, and you know, I just love it. And I'm so worried, because obviously I'm not getting any younger either. Mm. I don't know how long this situation will drag on for, because the problem is there's no insurance against COVID.
No.
There's no insurance. You know how expensive it is to take the band out on tour. And that's not even mentioning all the Brexit stuff that affects us, and the added costs and the added problems. But without insurance, there's no guarantee that a country you're in isn't suddenly going to lock down or have a new strain or da 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 da. And you think, oh my God, you know, that's like 50 grand down the drain. Just boom.
Stick around, maybe. me see you, I know that you looks like.
Indie rock band of The Hunter with a track called Clouds, and the one you've just heard, a bit of psychedelic stoner doom from Melbourne, Jack Harlan Dave is done. Right, for the last time today, we're going to go back to our discussions.
I mean I'm UK born and bred, but I wouldn't say that the UK is the best place to play in the world.
No.
Do you know what I mean?
Really not.
Europe has got so many better venues so much more.
They're more appreciative and they treat you better. Yeah, and
yeah, absolutely. It's got all the all the goodnesses in Europe, and you guys, if you're listening from Europe, you know what we're talking about.
I'm not talking about the audience as well. It's about the way you're treated in the venues and you know the sort of infrastructure.
Just a general outlook on musicians and music. I think still
appreciation.
The appreciation of it.
Definitely. We're not very appreciated in this country. Not really. Like a really big example of that is catering. You play like O2s or wherever in the UK, you don't get catering. You have to order food in or organise something yourself or whatever. In all of the European venues, even as a support band, they give you catering.
Yeah. My favorite thing to say is this is the difference between Europe and the UK. Ready? So what do you do? This is in Europe. So what do you do? I'm a guitarist in a band. No way. Oh, why? What sort of music is it? Where do you play? Oh, wow. How many albums have you got? Can I get one? How do I get the albums? It's just amazing. Wow. Okay. Go, great. When are the gigs? Brilliant. I love it. This is in the UK. Hi. What do you do? I'm a musician. You should probably get yourself a proper job.
No, or do you play with anyone I've heard of?
Yeah.
Anyone I know? Anyone famous? Oh well, if it's nobody I know, then you're obviously rubbish.
You're rubbish, yeah.
Yeah. That's it for this week. I've got time to leave you with a few tracks from the Isle of Wight, Wet Leg, with a track called Pokemon, bit of indie rock from Venezuela and Colombia. The band Argovia. Prog rock metal with a track called Mountains, and finally to see us out from Liverpool, Exploring Birdsong. The track is romanticised. It's sort of poppy prog rock. I hope you enjoyed this week's show. Have a great week. See you soon. Bye. Thank you.
insist your heart is on a plate.
I don't understand.
So I fill the wound with salt and put it on a flame. The love that your eyes suggest is thrown across your face.
Yeah.